Yeah, the decriminalization of marijuana has a lot of people in Maryland wondering what's the next step and if that includes legalizing marijuana. Yet the governor of one of the most progressive states in this country has recently raised some serious concerns about that issue. California's Jerry Brown says, quote, "If there's advertising and legitimacy, how many people can get stoned and still have a great state or a great nation?" My question to all of you is, the money that the state could get from taxing this drug worth accepting it in Maryland? And I'd like to begin with Delegate Mazier.
Thank you for the question. Our marijuana prohibition laws have been a failure. They have been enforced with racial bias. African Americans and whites in our state use marijuana with the exact same frequency, but African Americans go to jail 3 times more often. That's why I fought for decriminalization this session. We're not putting 23,000 people in jail anymore because of their nonviolent possession of this drug. We're not spending $280 million a year on the incarceration, detention, and court costs associated with this. But if we legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana, not only are we bringing in a new revenue source that I dedicate to paying for a universal pre-K program, but we would also be sending an important message about the fact that this is a substance that is arguably less harmful to the body than alcohol and tobacco. And for adults, it should be treated the same way. For youth, we have to step in and make sure they don't have access. And there are no campaigns right now to keep marijuana out of the hands of our youth. What drug dealer cards for an ID? I have a plan to spend $4 million a year to make sure that young people don't have access
Lieutenant
to
Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you, David. Look, Heather and I agree on a number of issues and disagree on probably a fewer number. I don't agree with Delegate Mazier's call for legalization at this time. I think there are two states that are looking at it. We ought to be looking at not just the money but the socioeconomic effects. But I do agree with Delegate Mazier in the decriminalization of possession of small amounts of marijuana. We spend over $100 million in this state prosecuting possession of small amounts, and that could go to prosecuting more violent crime. Also, as just pointed out, disproportionately African-American, particularly African-American young men, are arrested at higher rates, yet consumption rates are in the same in this country. But I fundamentally disagree with the values of the Attorney General when it comes to rooting out racist practices in the criminal justice system. I oppose the death penalty, and I fought long and hard to repeal it in Maryland. The Attorney General supports it, says it's a wonderful tool. He says it's reliable for convictions, but studies have shown it's not reliable. It disproportionately impacts African Americans, and it doesn't deter crime.
Attorney General, take 30 seconds to respond to that particular point before you answer Chris's question.
Well, it's curious that he says he's fought for years, because every time the repeal of the death penalty bill came up while he was a delegate in Annapolis, other delegates signed up to sponsor the bill, and the lieutenant governor was nowhere to be found until he was running for governor. The death penalty is a lot like prohibition. It's a non-issue in this campaign. The General Assembly has repealed it. The public has spoken on it. I've been a prosecutor for 22 years, and I never sought the death penalty once.
So let's talk about marijuana then. And the
so as a former assistant United States attorney in the Clinton administration, state's attorney in Montgomery County, now attorney general, I understand the ravages the drugs do cause families and the addictions and what they do to people. I happen to agree that medical marijuana is something we should allow to have as long as it's being prescribed by real doctors. And decriminalization is someplace we should have gone. I don't think, though, and I agree with the Lieutenant Governor, that we should go to legalization right now. Former Attorney General Brown of California is right. We have to make sure we allow some of these states to see how it works. Marijuana hasn't been legal for hundreds of years. Let's see how it works. There's no rush. Iron out any of the problems. But we shouldn't be motivated by taxes when we do it. We should make sure that if we are going to legalize marijuana, and hopefully that won't happen for a long time, we do it in lockstep with public safety officials and public health officials, because we shouldn't be motivated by having yet another tax on a product. Now, I can say the decriminalization is for such small amounts that very few people are locked up on that amount.
Delegate Mazier, just a final 30 seconds on this. With legalization in your views, are you comfortable saying to the children of this state, marijuana is okay?
We're not saying that to the children of this state. To the children of this state, we're saying that it's a very dangerous substance for a developing mind, and we're going to spend $4 million a year to make sure that they understand that. But what drug dealer is carding for an ID right now? That's how kids are getting access. And when we legalize, tax, and regulate it, the state's in charge of this. And the same way we do with alcohol, we improve our chances of keeping it out of the hands of our youth. The Institute of Medicine actually said that the gateway drug theory is about the drug, about marijuana being prohibited, that the laws against it are what actually has young people having more access.
To Chris Gordon now.
There is a perception that Maryland is not business friendly. You may have heard it. I have, on the street. And there are four Republican candidates running for the same job you are who say that taxes have been raised and created dozens and dozens of times in the last 7 years of this administration. And they're going to blame Democratic lawmakers. So my question to you, in fact, they want to reduce or do away with some of those taxes. So would you lower or raise taxes? And how do you attract business and new jobs to the state?
Lieutenant.
Lieutenant
Governor first.
Lieutenant Governor Brown.
Look, as I've traveled around the state and spoke with business leaders from all four corners, there is concern about the business climate in Maryland. And I've rolled out a proposal to position Maryland to be the most competitive business climate state in the nation. Part of it is looking at regulations and licensing, and part of it is looking at our tax liability. Look. In the first 100 days of the Brown-Ohman campaign, we are going to put together a Blue Ribbon Commission to look at tax reform. We're going to make sure that we're giving relief to working families, that we're incentivizing employers to invest in job-creating activities in Maryland, and that we're protecting our investments in education, public safety, the environment, and health care. But my tax plan will not include, and it doesn't, the corporate giveaway under the Gansler corporate tax giveaway. If we're going to invest in education, if we're going to invest in transportation, we can't afford to give a small number of the largest corporations in Maryland a $1.6 billion tax giveaway. It's under that plan that Doug has said we can't fund pre-K education for all Maryland four-year-olds. That's not my plan.
To the Attorney General, it's the same question.
Thank you, Chris. It's not a perception. It's a reality. We have had 40 consecutive tax increases here in Maryland. The people of Maryland just can't take it anymore. We've had 76% more people unemployed than when the Lieutenant Governor came to power, when he's been at the seat of power and stood by when all this was happening to our state. In Baltimore City, 46% of the adult males don't have work. We've lost over 7,000 small businesses in the last 8 years. We're 43rd in the country in manufacturing, and we only have four Fortune 500 companies left here in Maryland, which is one of the richest states and one of the smartest states in the country in terms of advanced degrees. So we cannot continue to mortgage the economic viability and future of this state on the backs of casino gambling and more tax increases. We need to bring life science companies here, cybersecurity companies here. We need to look at what New York has done in terms of manufacturing and having tax-free incentives to manufacturers so people can once again get back to work in the state of Maryland, because we can't continue to have half a billion or do billion-dollar deficits every year in Annapolis.
Delegate Mazier.
I'm the only one on this stage that has owned a small business, and I'm the only one with a plan to help them grow. I have a different vision about our economy, one that doesn't pit workers against businesses. My job creation strategy includes something for us all. If we were to bring back the millionaire's tax and close one corporate tax loophole that allows a handful of companies in our state that operate in other states who are avoiding paying their fair share of Maryland taxes, just ask them to pay their fair share, we could generate enough revenue to give 90% of all Maryland families a tax cut and tax relief for all of our small businesses. If we put more money in the hands of middle-class families, what do? They spend it in the economy. They go out to eat at more restaurants. They buy more shoes for their children or school supplies. And I have a plan to put people to work rebuilding our roads, our transit, and building 21st century schools.
All right. To Jenna Johnson now.
Great. Violent crime is down across the state, except for one category, forcible rape. In 2012, more than 1,200 people reported being raped in Maryland, and advocates say even more cases go unreported. The Obama administration has launched several initiatives aimed at reducing and combating sexual violence in the military and on college campuses. What will you do here in Maryland to address sexual violence? And Attorney General, we'll start with you.
Thank you. We're actually the ninth most violent state in the country. Baltimore City is the seventh most violent city in the country, and we have the fourth most homicides in the country here in Maryland. So we have a lot of work to do. In terms of rape, let me talk about Hollis Church for a moment. She was raped while watching television in Kensington one night. 13 years later, I was able to personally go into court and prosecute the offender because we had a DNA hit from Virginia. We then went to the Supreme Court of the United States when I was Attorney General and made sure we upheld the DNA statute so that law enforcement could use DNA to solve cold case rape cases. So we do have an issue here in Maryland, and we need to do a lot more in terms of our crime prevention and going forward. We need community prosecution. We need to make sure that a lot of the rapes actually happen in domestic violence situations, and I started the first domestic violence court in Montgomery County. We want to have domestic violence courts all over the state when I'm governor.
Delegate Mazur.
Any woman who has faced rape or domestic violence deserves to know that she has a governor and the law on her side. I have been pushing to erase the backlog of rape kits that are sitting in our criminal justice system. I have a plan to make sure that we remove guns from the scenes of domestic violence disputes because we know that women are 5 times more likely to be hurt, harmed, killed even when their abuser has a firearm in the home. And I've been pushing for paid sick leave that includes time off for safe time for women who need to interact with the criminal justice system, work to get a restraining order, or meet with an attorney to get the protection that she needs. We have to make sure that we protect and empower women, that we bring their abusers to justice, and that we do everything we can to make sure that this violence isn't repeated again. I'll be the governor that helps get this done.
Lieutenant Governor?
You know, we'll build stronger communities on the foundation of stronger families, when our wives, our mothers, our sisters, and our daughters can live free of the fear of sexual assault, rape, and domestic violence in the home, in the neighborhood, and in the workplace. No family is immune from that type of violence. My cousin Kathy was killed at the hands of her estranged boyfriend. And since that time, and even before, I've worked with the advocates of domestic violence. We've increased the number of domestic violence referral programs and sexual assault units at our community hospitals from 4 to 9. And my goal is to reach every one of the 43 community hospitals in the state of Maryland. Together, we've done a lot of work to reduce domestic violence against women, to make this a safer state for women. We've given judges the authority to order domestic abusers to surrender their firearms. This year, finally, after 19 years of failed effort, we lowered the standard, and a woman can now get a protective order on a preponderance of the evidence standard instead of the heightened clear and convincing standard. So we're making a lot of progress. We have a lot more work to do.